She's been cyberbullied, and it's driving her Be Best initiative.
We need to educate the children of social-emotional behavior.
The First Lady saying she could be the most bullied person in the world, making the remark on ABC's Good Morning America in a segment where she was promoting her Be Best initiative.
You think you're the most bullied person in the world?
One of them, if you really see what people are saying about me. That's why my Be Best initiative is focusing on social media and online behavior.
That initiative targeting children does address online bullying. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Attorneys General of 34 states want the FCC to crack down on robocallers. They sent a formal comment to the FCC asking them to create new rules to fight the scammers.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Florida's governor preparing to take an aerial tour of the devastation on the Florida panhandle from the Category 4 Hurricane Michael.
I will be joining the Florida National Guard to survey damage in Panama City and Mexico Beach.
Rick Scott speaking as the FEMA director says.
Our focus is search and rescue, getting access to the areas that have been hardest hit and search and rescue.
With parts of Mexico Beach destroyed, one official there says it looks like it was targeted by a World War II bombing raid. Now Tropical Storm Michael is dumping heavy rains over much of central and eastern South and North Carolina. A NASA astronaut and his Russian counterpart are back safely after their Soyuz capsule had to make an emergency landing shortly after it lifted off today from Kazakhstan. American Nick Hague and his partner were heading to the International Space Station. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
On today's very special edition of Taking Care of Business, I'll be talking with Courthouse Square developer Jack Cust about his plans for the redevelopment zone presently known as the Union Hotel. Mr. Cust will try to clear up any misconceptions people may have about the project and discuss where we go from here. It's Thursday, October 11th, 2018, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine.
good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of Taking Care of Business. In fact, today is the 7th year anniversary of this show here on 100 in Chamber Radio, and I've loved every minute of it. And typically, Taking Care of Business focuses on issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington and on the national scene as well. Today, we're going to be talking with developer of the Courthouse Square project here in Flemington, Jack Cust, and his son, Jack. A huge business endeavor here in the borough, to say the least. We will review several aspects of the project, as well as talk about some of his other business interests in and around Flemington, most notably HealthQuest and Diamond Nation, and we'll try to clear up any misconceptions that may be out there on social media regarding the project. Before we begin, I want to clarify one point that was made on social media yesterday. I was asked if I would be interviewing the Friends of Historic Flemington Group under the equal time provisions established by the FCC. The answer is no, for three reasons. First, the equal time provision applies to political candidates only, and Mr. Cust is not a political candidate or running for office. Second, internet-based radio stations, according to the FCC, are not bound by the local competition laws because they broadcast across the country and conceivably worldwide. Therefore, the equal time laws, which were created for local and state races, would not apply. And third, I have not received a request from the Friends of Flemington to be interviewed, but if I were to have such a request in hand, they would have to come to the table with an alternative plan and financing in place, just as Mr. Cust has done, to even be considered. Barring that, I'll resume regular programming starting next week. And now back to our guest. Jack, thanks for joining me here today on the program. I appreciate you coming in.
My pleasure.
Very good. Last week there was a breakfast meeting sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce with yourself, Mayor Phil Greiner, and John Barry, a community planner from the Red Bank, New Jersey area. And in social media, complaints were lodged that this was kind of like an inclusive group. It was a Chamber of Commerce event. Not everybody could go. So that's why I thought it would be a great idea to have you here today. People could ask questions. I put up an email address that people could direct questions to, and we only received one. We'll get to that a little bit later. But to lay the groundwork on this project, the hotel stopped serving overnight guests in the 1950s. The bar and restaurant closed over 10 years ago. There have been 3 developers prior to you. They've all failed miserably. And 10 years, basically, it's been an abandoned structure. So let's talk about your background as a developer and why you would take this project on where others have failed.
That's a great question, Jim. I got involved in this primarily because of being a county resident for about 40 years and raising my family here and developing businesses here, our accounting firm, HealthQuest and Diamond Nation, as you mentioned, plus other real estate ventures that we've been involved in. We've kind of watched the county over that period of time grow, become very successful, enjoy a lot of different things that transpired over that period of time. But then we also saw it kind of change as the demographics changed in the county. I got interested in the our freeholders did a comprehensive economic development study some years back, I believe in 2014 and 2015, which really piqued my interest in terms of what was happening throughout the county. Mm-hmm. And I saw in that report, they did a SWOT analysis of the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And it really described the trends in the county, the aging population, what was happening, the lack of amenities, infrastructure issues, and they pointed out a lot of different things. And along the lines, it also talked about, the ability to develop town centers, which we need to do. And we don't really have a formal town center. Also, as all that was going on, you're looking at Flemington and you're seeing the situation and the difficulty that was taking place during the attempts to try to redevelop Main Street. And it just wasn't happening. So I came into Flemington. I was asked to be on a committee with Roger Brooks. He was a gentleman that was hired by the borough to come in and analyze and evaluate what could be done with Flemington and Main Street. And he did a comprehensive analysis. And I was part of that committee. And I watched everything evolve and what his recommendations were, together with what was taking place. And through that effort, you got an opportunity to review the master plan for Flemington. And it occurred to me that the master plan fell short of really what was needed in Flemington. And when I looked at the master plan, it really called for just kind of fixing the hotel and putting up some apartments. Mm-hmm. And that was not going to do, in my opinion, much for Flemington. Flemington needed an anchor. It needed something that was more sustaining, more mixed use, more attractions, more amenities. And the more I looked at it, the more I started to see that Flemington could be the solution for Hunterdon County, because Hunterdon County expressed many of the same concerns. So when you looked at Hunterdon County's issues and then you looked at Flemington's issues, they kind of were tied together in terms of what needed to be done to advance the county and move it forward. As I also looked at the SEDS report, as it's known, the Comprehensive Economic Development Study, when I looked at that report, it came out that we needed higher education, which we don't have. We're the only county in the state of New Jersey without higher education. And that, to me, kind of struck a nerve with me. And I said, if we could bring a college into Flemington, you could solve a lot of problems.
Right. I don't want to cut you off there, but I do want to remind our listeners that there is a website that you can look at while listening to the program. It's www.courthousesquareflemington.com. And Jack just mentioned the SEDS study. I believe that's one of the important documents on the website. Do you have that in there?
Yes, that's on the website, and it's also on the county website.
All right, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the pilot program, which is something that a lot of people have a misunderstanding about, the difference between pilot and taxes. But if you're looking for any of the important documents that are associated with the project, redevelopment agreement, the plan, the pilot study, traffic and parking, economic impact, the SEDS, the SHPO approval, and a resolution from the freeholders, you can see all of that on the website, courthousesquareflemington.com. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we're back. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Glad you could join us. We're talking today with Jack Cuss, the developer of the Courthouse Square project. And, Jack, I want to start the second segment of the program talking about the pilot program, because I think it's an area that a lot of people don't understand. And when we talk about
the benefits to the borough with regards to whether it's a rateable and a tax or a pilot. Mm-hmm. If you can just kind of clear that up for the listeners, that'd be great.
Jim, the pilot program, I think it's interesting just to give you an overview of what the purpose of it is. It's first of all, pilot stands for payment in lieu of taxes, and it sounds like it's a tax abatement. To me, I call it a tax replacement because it's established by the state of New Jersey under a statute, and it's designed to help areas that, quite frankly, are blighted or need to be redeveloped. And it's used throughout the state. It's a great tool. Every municipality really enjoys having the benefit of a pilot because it ends up getting more tax revenues to the town. The reason why the pilots work is because you have a situation where they redirect the formula and they change the formula of taxation. And what they do is they allow the municipal body to get a larger piece of the formula than they had previously. And what that does, it gets more revenue directly into the borough of Flemington. Now, opponents, people that really don't understand it, say that the school taxation gets cut back and it's a detriment to the school system, which is not true because typically when you have pilots, they're usually required because you have circumstances that require a pilot. Mm-hmm. And by that I mean you have areas in need of redevelopment. And when you have those areas in need of redevelopment, what also happens is you usually have a declining school system, which means that you have capacity in a school. The Hunterdon Central School District has a substantial decline in students when you look at the population. So the impact to students is negligible. There's not going to be, even if there were a few students that were that came out of this project, it's never going to get back to the amount of students that they had, and they have the capacity to absorb it. So the impact on cost to a school system is negligible. Therein lies the reason why they can change these formulas and redirect the monies back to the borough. And it's very beneficial for everybody if the people, if they would take the time to look at it. But it's not a simple concept to grasp.
And the pilot, the numbers that have been published show that Flemington would receive about $694,000 in pilot funds versus the $62,000 that they're currently collecting from taxes. There's been numbers floated on social media that it's only $600,000 and things like that. Where do we stand as far as lifetime of the pilot? What will it generate for Flemington, and what is the number?
The pilot is a 30-year program. It starts out at $600,000 and grows over the 30-year period. There's increases every 5 years. And the projected average annual revenues to the borough is $694,000 over that period of time, or close to $22 million. So currently, these properties are generating about $60,000, as you mentioned, to the borough. So it's a significant increase. Mm-hmm. And what happens is, aside from that, the multiplying effect of more jobs, more development that's going to be created in other areas of Flemington that are also in need of development, will spur all that on. So there's a huge multiplier effect to put these pilots in place and really kind of jumpstart a community.
Very good. One of the things you mentioned, and again, we're talking with Jack Cust, the developer of Courthouse Square here in Flemington. If you want to follow along, the website is www.courthousesquareflemington.com. A couple of different pages on the website that I want to talk about, and there was one dedicated to Georgian Court University, and you mentioned in your opening comments how important it was to you. Very important to my mother-in-law because she's a graduate of Georgian Court.
Oh, that's great to hear.
You know, so what I did in the little research that I did is they're not just Lakewood. They're already spreading out into other areas,
right?
And this gives them a little bit more northern exposure by being here in the Flemington area. Yes, we have Raritan Valley Community College, but everybody from Hunterdon has to, you know, go to them. Mm-hmm. And I also want to talk about the alignment or the potential alignment with Hunterdon Medical Center and the critical nursing staffing shorting needs that's going on now that this could possibly meet.
Exactly. The Georgian Corps University is really the right fit for Hunterdon County and Flemington. And the reason is when we tried to take on the initiative of attracting a college, we had talked to various colleges that were interested. But to me, they were interested in kind of just putting up a satellite campus here. And, you know, if you took a larger university and they just put a satellite in Flemington, it wasn't the same approach that Georgian Court was taking. When we talked to Georgian Court was very, very interested, and they were interested for a variety of reasons. They were interested because the Diocese of Metuchen does not have a Catholic university in the entire diocese, and that was a huge goal for them is to get their university inside the Diocese of Metuchen. They're working together with the diocese, and they're also working with the Hunterdon Medical Center. They have a fabulous nursing program, which if people understand what's going on in the healthcare industry is one of the fastest growing industries in the country for obvious reasons, the aging population, et cetera. And Georgian Court has a very good working relationship, already had a very good working relationship with Raritan Valley College. So Raritan Valley College was a two-year program. Georgian Court had a four-year program. And the Hunterdon Medical Center was kind of the catalyst between the two, because working through the Hunterdon Medical Center, they could establish a very strong nursing program here in Flemington, which would really put a lot of meat on the bones in terms of coming in and providing something and separating themselves from just a, you know, typical college that would provide some business courses and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, most of our listeners know my background. I spent 8 years as a recruiter in the pharmaceutical industry. It's an estimated shortage of about 450,000 nurses nationwide in the next 10 years. This is critical because it can cripple, you know, healthcare as we know it. So I think it brings a lot to the table. Also on the website, and I want to point out, as you're navigating through, if you're going along with us, there is a frequently asked questions portion on the website. And it answers a lot of the questions that people might have. But are there any questions in particular that you know of that people should be paying attention to as they navigate the site?
Well, it depends on what perspective you come from. I mean, some of these questions were developed because of, you know, just people that were concerned about the project or misinformed. You know, if I could run through all these questions, I don't know what you want to do.
I think that, you know, the people can do their own research on that. I was just looking, like, if there's something that you thought was a hot button issue that people should, you know, maybe go to the website, click on, and then get the answer there.
Well, the one thing that keeps coming up that people talk about is the size of the project. And I think we could spend a few minutes talking about the size of the project, why it became the way it is.
Yep.
You know, the size of the project evolved because when we first started this and we were looking at what we were trying to accomplish, it required a lot of discussion, primarily with the council, before we even started. And one of the initial questions was, could the borough, it's going to require parking, could the borough pay for the parking, or would the developer have to pay for the parking? And the borough council, being the size of the budget in the borough and the inability to bond it, was not able to provide any parking. So we had to provide the parking for this by building this structured parking garage, which is very, very expensive. When you start to get into the infrastructure cost of doing all this, if it's all on the developer, then it requires the project to be of a certain size so that you can spread those costs and get an adequate return to make it worthwhile for everybody involved. So once we understood that we had to pay for the parking, and the parking is a significant part of this project, then it kind of drove the size of it. Mm-hmm. What happened after that, we also had been continuously working on this project. We modified this project four different times because at the outset, Roger Brooks's initial recommendation was to tear the hotel down, tear all the properties down, start over. So in our first plan, we did that. That plan had some resistance when it came out. People were emotional about saving the Union Hotel, which we can respect and appreciate. So what happened is that first iteration, that first plan was only six stories. It was six stories. Mm-hmm. And when we came up with this, we talked with the borough members, and we said this has to be bigger than a master plan because of everything that's involved. And they agreed it has to be bigger than a master plan. So we started with six stories, and then when we put that out there, the six stories went straight up. And when they went straight up, people didn't like that. Some of the people said it's too straight, it's too much, looks like Hoboken. So we had to step it back. Mm-hmm. Then we stepped it back. When we stepped it back, we had to make it even higher. So that's how it got to be seven stories. And then we stepped it back, and that wasn't adequate enough for some people. Then they want us to save the hotel. We tried to do a replica hotel. People didn't like the replica hotel. Then we went back and actually found a way to save the hotel. But when we found a way to save the hotel, it reduced other parking. Because when you save the hotel, and we also save the Hunterdon County National Bank building, when you save those buildings, underneath was originally supposed to be parking. All that underneath parking under those two properties went away.
Right.
So we actually reduced property. We actually reduced our parking, and we kept increasing our costs because as we agreed to save these properties, it was very expensive to save them. So we kept trying to accommodate everyone. In the meantime, the property was getting smaller, more expensive, and higher. Mm-hmm. So it was trying to balance all this out, kind of getting us to where we are today. Now, what's happened since then is we continue to seek ways to see how we can make this more efficient. We've reached out to the county. Mayor Griner has been working with the county. We've been trying to do some things to see if we can find some off-site parking. If we can find some off-site parking, we can reassess and look at the density of the project to see if there's a way to kind of satisfy everyone. But we're not there yet.
So when people are on social media saying that you've made no concessions, you've made no compromises, I think what we just heard shows you've been back to the drawing board several times and have tried to take all of that into account, all the feedback that you're getting. I don't think it will ever be perfect in 100% of the people's minds. No project ever is. But at least it's showing that there's a willingness to work, with the borough and its residents.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, we're part of the community. We don't want to – I didn't get involved in this to get into a situation that was divisive or controversial. We were trying to do something that's going to work for everyone. We want our neighbors to be happy. We want everybody to be happy. Mm-hmm. But, we have to get it to a certain level to make this work. And we also have to – create something that I think Hunterdon County should be proud of for the next 100 years. I mean, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at, redefining the county seat and building something significant. They talk about the height of this thing, but the height is really going to end up being about 90 feet.
Right.
The current Union Hotel is 57 feet.
So we're not
About that. Yep. It's not we're doubling the size of it or anything else. We're going from 57 feet to 90 feet currently the way it is. And if you think about 57 feet with the hotel when it was built, it probably looked like a monstrosity.
Right.
So back then, yeah. From on a comparative basis and where we are in a time scene, it's not really that out of line.
Very good. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. We've got to step away for a quick news break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Jack Cust, the developer of the Courthouse Square project.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Florida's governor preparing to take an aerial tour of the devastation on the Florida panhandle from the Category 4 Hurricane Michael.
I will be joining the Florida National Guard to survey damage in Panama City and Mexico Beach.
Rick Scott speaking as the FEMA director says.
Our focus is search and rescue, getting access to the areas that have been hardest hit and search and rescue.
With parts of Mexico Beach destroyed, one official there says it looks like it was targeted by a World War II bombing raid. Now Tropical Storm Michael is dumping heavy rains over much of central and eastern South and North Carolina. A NASA astronaut and his Russian counterpart are back safely after their Soyuz capsule had to make an emergency landing shortly after it lifted off today from Kazakhstan. American Nick Hague and his partner were heading to the International Space Station. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business. Every way I've been taking care of business, it's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime. Work out.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano. So glad you could join me this afternoon as we are joined by Jack Cust, the developer of the Courthouse Square project. And I wanted to follow up on the last part of the conversation that we had and remind people of what's included in the project. You know, you talked about saving the facade of the Union Hotel. But if we can just remind people the number of apartments and hotel rooms, retail, restaurants, et cetera.
Yeah, Jim. It's the components in the mix inside of Courthouse Square are as follows. There's 222 dwelling units, apartments. There's a 100-room hotel, which is important because you need a certain size of a hotel to get people that really want to operate it. It's got to be big enough. Operating a 30 or 40 room hotel today is very, very difficult. So a 100-room hotel was important. The medical education space is 45,000 square feet, and that's kind of stayed the same. And the retail space is about 30,000 square feet. Now, that's changed, just to put it in perspective. In our first go-round, we started with almost 250 units, apartment units, and the medical education space was 60,000 feet. And there was, I don't remember the exact number, but there was 40 to 50,000 feet of retail. So we kept cutting this back to accommodate some of the demands that were out there and try to keep this in line and, as we modified it, make it work for everyone. But that's where we are right now.
Very good. As I travel around the country for business, I'm a big fan of architecture. I'm a big fan of seeing how towns develop. And, you know, one town that comes to mind right off the bat is San Antonio. You know, we have the Alamo there, so that's very old, and yet there are new sections of town, and they kind of complement each other in what I call an old town, new town feel. You preserve the history of the old town, not bulldozing everything through, and then, you know, but you have a new town center that right. people can visit. Same thing in Vancouver, same thing in Seattle. Is that what you see here, that we'll have a good mix of both?
Absolutely. I mean, we tried to do our best to maintain the streetscape. If you look at the renderings on the website, I thought Minow and Wasco did a fabulous job of blending the streetscape and setting the newer type architecture back from the street. And I think the blend is terrific. I you have that in a lot of places, as you mentioned. Scottsdale has it too. You have the old Scottsdale and the new Scottsdale. And these things work beautifully together. And you just need to be receptive to saying, you know, that we're looking towards tomorrow and something that's going to be interesting and vibrant and attract people. And remember, there are young people that are very interested in Flemington. And they want to come here and grow their families. And so you kind of have to have the best of both worlds.
Right. That's what I call the snow globe effect. We can preserve everything, but what are we doing for future generations? Right. In 20 years, when this thing is built out and running, you know, I'll be 77 years old. I don't know that I'll be the guy, you know, walking down Main Street. I can barely walk down Main Street now. But at least at least leaving some portion of town or some area that, you know, future generations can benefit from. You mentioned earlier that Hunterdon County is experiencing tremendous growth. We saw that last week with the signing of Unicom taking over the Merck site, which is going to bring a whole lot of people in a million square foot office building. They're going to need places to live, places to shop, places to eat. There's negotiations going on for the old Foster Wheeler site up off of Exit 12. Now with the combination of Courthouse Square, is this what you envision as being that – kind of like that spread westward where Branchburg used to be the dividing line. Nobody would develop past.
Right.
And now all of a sudden we can see that, you know, this Courthouse Square could benefit from those two developments.
Absolutely. This county needs a significant town center. It's a great, great county. You know, Hunterdon County, when you look at it, it has so many attributes that are terrific. You have a great school system, K-12. You have a great healthcare system. And you have open space. And the open space gets protected by developing town centers correctly, because if you take everything that I'm talking about in Courthouse Square and spread it out, it affects your open space. If you're allowed to put it in one area, in one town, and build a town center, you help preserve your open space, and that's important, the quality of life and everything else that comes with it. The Unicom situation is terrific. You know, we have been on the downside for probably 5 to 10 years, I don't know exactly, but, you know, Merck was leaving. Some of these larger corporations were, you know, when they make a decision to leave, it gets difficult. And Exxon was actually considering leaving. Instead, our economic development team, through Mark Salek and the chamber and everybody else, was able to keep them in the county, and instead they're expanding. Mm-hmm. So that's a great thing. Foster Wheeler, if that gets revitalized, all these types of things are going to create a lot of jobs. And the Merck site, I think you mentioned it's 1 million square feet. It's actually 2 million square feet. And there's going to be a significant amount of people that are going to be relocating here, looking to live in the county. And quite frankly, our housing needs are really are going to be underserved that. They're not really set up for this type of influx right now. So there's got to be adjustments made in other areas too.
Right. And I do want to address one issue. There was a local politician that posted something today that said that this interview was motivated by the chamber. And I want to clear that up and say that I invited Mr. Cuss to be a guest on the show because I look for newsmakers. And I think it's safe to say that you are, in fact, a newsmaker in this town. She said that I only brought you here because you're a contributing member to the Chamber of Commerce. I don't know if you do that, and I don't care. The chamber leadership didn't even know who my guest was until Tuesday, and I think that the chamber at some point should be involved as it represents its members' businesses. So to Mrs. Peterson, I'm sorry you feel the way you do, but there was absolutely no motivation on the part of the chamber to bring Jack in and promote this project. This was more to get honest answers about the project, and that's all my motivation was. So I want to talk about a couple other projects that you have going, and we have Jack here with us as well. Probably two of the most successful that I have seen in Hunterdon County, and that would be HealthQuest and Diamond Nation. Obviously, Jack, great baseball background, you know, playing professional baseball is a key to Diamond Nation, having the relationship that you have with Jenny Finch. But talk about the beginnings of HealthQuest, how that even came to be, and then Diamond Nation.
Well, I'll give you a little chronology of, you know, my accounting firm was first started on Main Street, 110 Main Street, actually, is where I started my accounting firm back in 1979. And so we were entrenched in the county, and I built that accounting firm up over the years, and then we merged with Wiss & Company, which is one of the prominent firms in New Jersey. But during that period of time, my accounting expertise was really more geared towards strategic planning and taking businesses and developing them and looking how you could create alliances and do things that make sense. And along the way, the first thing that happened is we were accountants for a lot of people in the health club business. And one of our key clients is one of the largest health clubs in the country, and that's how we got started on HealthQuest. And I give you a little interesting thing. HealthQuest actually started on Maple Avenue as the old Gold's Gym. My sons Jack, Kevin, and Mike, and my wife Faith all trained with Tony Tierno, who owned Gold's Gym at the time. And Tony was a fabulous trainer. He was kind of nationally known, trained all kinds of Olympic athletes, professional athletes. And when they were younger, they trained with him, which helped them through their athletic careers. And my wife, Faith, actually was the one that wanted to try to get involved in a health club business. Mm-hmm. And she talked me into trying to create an alliance with Tony and investing in Gold's Gym. And we took that over from Tony Tierno. We bought out his company. And then we took the model of some of our other very successful large clubs, and we took that model and we used Gold's Gym's small base and built HealthQuest out on Route 31, which is now one of the top 100 clubs in the country.
You have, what, over 1,800 members, I believe?
Oh, no. We have almost 10,000 people that use that club.
I got to get some newer data.
It's a very active club, and it serves the entire county, and we're very proud of that. My wife was involved. Faith was involved in really helping get that off the ground, and it's been very successful ever since. But through that, we also saw the decline in the population as Hunterdon County aged. As they aged and moved out, we saw the changes there, which was also a driving force of why we wanted to get involved in helping redevelop Flemington.
Very good. Now, Diamond Nation, and I have friends across the country, their kids play baseball, and I'm hearing people saying, oh, we're coming out to Flemington from Washington, from Arizona, from Boston, things like that. You've basically had players from all 50 states, several countries. A very well-run operation. How did that get started? What was the need, and will we ever see the Dome again?
Well, Diamond Nations is really an interesting story because when all three of my sons, when they came through, they were all baseball enthusiasts. I was a baseball player at Seton Hall, and we were a baseball family. So Jack, Kevin, and Mike were all very, very passionate about baseball. They were all-Americans. All three of them were all-Americans. They were all drafted. Jack by the Diamondbacks, Kevin by the Braves, and Michael by the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. And so we were kind of a baseball family. Jack had had the good fortune to really advance his skills at the highest level, and he was a first-round draft pick out of Immaculata High School in 1997. And when he signed out of high school and decided not to go to college, he passed up a scholarship to Alabama, and he went into professional baseball. We came down to said, okay, what are you going to do in the off season? What are you going to do?
Right.
So we started this little hitting school. It was a very little hitting school, and he and I talked how to do it, and we would take 10 kids at a time, and we would teach them. I would leave my accounting practice at night, and it was an actual school. Kids would enroll. It was a 4 or 8 week program. It was very comprehensive, and what happened is it became very successful because of his notoriety and what he had done throughout the state of New Jersey. These players that came through initially all really accomplished quite a bit. Mm-hmm. They became Division I players. They became professional. They were signed professionally and drafted. And it just grew and grew and grew amongst itself, and we kept expanding it. It actually started out as a hobby for me to the point where we ended up growing it and growing it. We put the first field next to HealthQuest, the first turf field in Central Jersey. And it just kept continuing to the point where we had to make some decisions to either make this a business or get out of it.
Right.
And at that point, we hired some people, and Keith Dilgard came on board, who played at Mississippi State. And we developed a business program, and we started developing teams. We were related. We had Scott Bradley from Princeton involved with us and Eddie Blankmeyer, the head coach from St. John's. And they were all kind of pitching in and just encouraging me, build this, and grow it. In the meantime, we had these kids that were coming through, and they were really, like I said, doing substantial things. We've had 7 first-round draft picks. We've had top players come through there. Just for example, right now, if you're watching and you're a Red Sox fan, Purcello played for us, Rick Purcello. He's a Cy Young Award winner. He played in our Super 17 program at Help right next to HealthQuest, along with Mike Trout. Everybody, mm-hmm. If anybody's a baseball fan knows it. Mike Trout is one of the premier players maybe in the history of baseball, and he played here in Flemington for 3 years.
So let's talk about how that particular property,
right.
You're bringing people in from all over the country. Do you have numbers on how many people come through Diamond Nation per year
right.
and how that would relate to needing hotel rooms, places right. to eat, things like that?
Yeah, and there's a sequence that I just get to, and then I'm going to let Jack mm-hmm. talk and explain it to you. What happened is, as we were doing these things, they kept asking me to create these travel teams. And we created travel teams before we really did Diamond Nation. And we would go out to these different places all around the country and travel, to the point where we had so many travel teams and we were going to these tournaments that really weren't that great. So we, you know, Keith Dilgard said, you know, we could build our own tournament complex and have the people come here, and we could be more efficient in terms of how we develop players and things like that. So we did that, and then, you know, Diamond Nation, we found out we could buy the property around the corner from us, and we built Diamond Nation. Diamond Nation has about 500,000 people that come here annually, and it's interesting that most of those people stay in Somerset County because of the lack of hotels here, which was another reason why we felt we could, you know, certainly impact Main Street in Flemington. Right. And there's a lot of people that come here from all over the place. So we've had hundreds of players drafted. We've had a lot of players in the major leagues. And it's interesting when you think about little old Flemington, how many general managers have come here from professional teams to play, to watch players and scout players. I mean, we've had scouts come in and general managers fly in helicopters to Solberg Airport and come to Diamond Nation. It's pretty an interesting story.
I don't think there isn't another complex like that around, is there?
No, there are several. Cal Ripken has a couple, and there's one out in Long Island. There's one in Boston. But for the most part, it's a pretty unique, nationally acclaimed facility.
If we got time. I got players from all over the ex-teammates that and guys who I've played with. They all come and you know, they share with me their experiences of coming to Flemington, and they love the tournaments we put on. That, you know, what they say, it's Diamond Nation is one of their favorite places to play. Everyone's traveling all over to Florida, Georgia, like Long Island, Boston, like my dad said. But they really like the tournament that we put on. Our team does a great job. And the one thing about the one complaint they have is, what do we do around here? They'll call me, and these guys are coming. They're like, what can we do when we after we're playing the games? I was like, well, you're probably – there's not much to do in town. There's some things to do. You really got to look. But that's another reason why we created this, you know, why we're going to have the hotel down here. We feed 14 different hotels. Only three of them are really in the county of Hunterdon, and the other 11 are in Somerset County.
Right.
So my friends, when I go visit them, I'll go to their hotel and they're staying, you know, out off of 202 and 22. They want to be by the mall. They want to be by a movie theater, a bowling alley, where there's stuff to do. So that's something, another reason. Not only the business in Flemington and the decline of the, you know, in the population out here, but having something to do for these teams that come in and being able to kind of have an experience for them where they're playing their games and in their off time, they can go to downtown Flemington, walk to downtown Flemington, you know, see the great town of Flemington that we have here, maybe go to Stangle, maybe the parents go out to the wineries at night while the parents are hanging around kids. Maybe we get a movie theater in town somehow again.
There's definitely talk about that. So I think a lot of projects are kind of in pause mode, waiting to see what happens with your project.
You need to ask Jack. You have to take a break.
Quick break.
Okay.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll follow up with Jack Cust and his son Jack III, and we'll finish up the program here today. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business, it's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. You lucky dog. So glad you could be joining me for 7 years right here at WHCRDB and HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington and the host of this program. I want to go back to Jack for a minute with regards to Diamond Nation. One of the things I'm seeing really take off is girls softball, and it seems like Diamond Nation meets that need. You had the Jenny Finch's Aces tournament recently, but talk about how that got started and how you're, what you're seeing growth-wise across, you know, not just here, but across the country.
Yeah, we're excited. I have two daughters. Both of them have played softball, not at the competitive Finch's Aces level, but yeah, how that started was when I was playing in spring training with the Diamondbacks. I had met Jenny when she was in college. She was like the you know, everyone knew when she stepped on the field in Tucson at University of Arizona that she was going to be, well, you never knew what she was going to be this good, but she was special from the beginning. So we became friends down there. One of my teammates ended up marrying her, Casey Daigle. So, you know, they're married with three children, and he was a pitcher as well. But so we had continued our relationship after, you know, after she kept her career kept going. She was in the Olympics. I was playing ball. We had the same agent. So we brought her on at Diamond Nation, and we're so lucky to have her. She's really a special person that does a lot of special things, not only in the community, not only on the baseball field, but in the community and with young children all over. And we're glad to have her Finch's Aces on the jersey. And it's a great relationship that we shared for a long time.
I know the folks that I know that have daughters playing softball, they get excited when they hear, you know, she's coming to town. That's a great thing.
Yes, they do.
Jack, let's talk about next steps. On the Courthouse Square project, this week the financing was approved. Mm-hmm. You got a planning board meeting, I think. Is that tonight?
Tonight.
What are the next steps after that, and when can we see that, you know, movement forward, shovel in the ground type thing?
Well, we've come a long way from when we started this, and we are, I say, on the five-yard line of finishing this. We have the planning board approval that we're seeking now. We're in the middle of, and we're, you know, once we get the planning board approval done, there's a couple of minor steps, and then we're going to be ready to go. I would hope to, once the planning board approval is done, we would start with construction plans. And we would like to start this next year in the spring or the summer. So really, that's our goal to try to accomplish. And I would just I'm looking really forward to having that happen. I'm excited for the community. I'm excited for the town. And I'm really I really think this is going to be great for everybody once it's up.
I think it is. And you know, it's having had a business here in town, watching the decline, having been involved with the Flemington Business and Improvement District, and the FCP, and watching how start, stop, pause, you know, I think that we're to the point now where we realize that something has to happen. And I've reviewed your plans. I've reviewed your website, which is courthousesquareflemington.com. If anybody listening wants to take the time and do their own research, I think it would definitely answer a lot of questions that you may have. And
and hopefully educate you on what is actually being done on the project. Don't rely on, you know, social media for your news. You know, get it from the source. And so I want to thank you and Jack for coming in today and being on the program. You certainly didn't have to do it. I understand that. But your willingness to answer my questions and those sent in to let the true facts about the project be known to me speaks volumes to your concern about this project and the town. I think it's safe to say that we shouldn't all get all of our news from vocal opponents on Facebook, but rather do our own due diligence and attend council meetings, listen to programs like this, and visit the project's website at courthousesquareflemington.com and that of any opposing of the plan, so that each of us can make up our minds on what is the best solutions for Flemington. Two other developers came forward and failed miserably in their attempts to redevelop the Union Hotel, and in the process, 10 years of further decay have been allowed to happen to that building and this town. People often cite they want Flemington to be more like Somerville, New Hope, and Lambertville. Those towns didn't just wake up one day and say, look, we're revitalized, come visit us. It took the investment of several people, including residents, business owners, and developers, to make that happen. I'm not sure what will happen during the coming election, but I do know that I am looking for council members and those that represent them to be honest and forthright when communicating with the public in meetings and on social media. We all deserve that. Spreading misstatements as facts serves no one. It's my hope that one day Flemington and the Hunterdon County region as a whole will once again return to prominence as a center of retail, and that our sidewalks will be full once again with visitors from all over looking to explore Flemington to shop, dine, tour, and enjoy all that it has to offer. I appreciate your listening today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. I'm Jim Gano. And I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime. You're listening to WHCR-DB. HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
It was the fastest hurricane anybody's seen. It just was speedy. If it wasn't, there'd be absolutely nothing left. It was incredibly powerful. You've seen the destruction. It's moving through Georgia now at a much lesser pace.
President Trump at the White House discussing Hurricane Michael, which ended up being the third most powerful hurricane ever to make landfall in the United States. Federal officials say they have charged a New York man with manufacturing an explosive device, saying he planned to set off the 200-pound bomb at the National Mall in Washington, D.C. on Election Day, killing himself and many others. Text messages are what ultimately caught Paul Rosenfeld, who was arrested earlier this week. His neighbors were dumbfounded that he could do such a thing.
Wow. Wow. Oh, my God. Could have killed a lot of people, taken up, you know, most of this block, I would say.
This is USA Radio News.
This is a national health alert from the healthcare hotline. Are you on Medicare and or have private insurance and suffer from back pain? MD Topical has a solution for you. Today, you can qualify to receive a pain-relieving treatment, such as a comfortable back brace or a customized pain treatment at little or no cost. Call MD Topical toll-free now, 877-875-5909. It just takes a couple of minutes to qualify for these amazing treatments that have helped thousands of people with severe pain. Your personalized pain treatment will be delivered directly to your door. Call MD Topical toll-free, 877-875-5909, or go to mdtopical.com and get started on your road to a pain-free life. Call MD Topical toll-free, 877-875-5909, or go to mdtopical.com.
China is doing all it can to influence American public opinion, but not compromise the election political process. USA Radio Network's John Clemens reports.
It was part of the testimony given to Congress by Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen.
China absolutely is on an unprecedented or exerting unprecedented effort to influence American opinion. But what I was making very clear is that we have not seen to date any Chinese attempts to compromise election infrastructure.
That testimony involved a number of matters that included threats of terrorism, cybersecurity, and for all airport security measures. I'm John Clemens.
The United States Postal Service plans to raise the price on postage stamps and other products beginning in January 2019. The price of a postage stamp for a one-ounce letter, which currently costs 50 cents, would be raised to 55 cents. Now, these price changes will have to be reviewed by the Postal Regulatory Commission before taking effect. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Everyone.